I want to thank you tonight. I'm glad that I have an audience that's firm and understands the Word of God. But I'm going to go ahead and deliver what I have. Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Cameron Bacon, is he in here? Caleb? See that? It says, in the beginning was the Word. But God was alone. It says, except God. And in the beginning there was nothing except God. Sorry. And one day, God made light. And that gave us a day and night. And then He made the clouds and the sky, the earth, the trees, the flowers, everything that's in it, the sun, the moon, the animals, the beasts, the birds. God did it all by Himself. He didn't need any of our help to do it. He did it all. He set it all in motion by Himself. He said there was no one else that helped Him do it, that it was Him alone. And we know that man was not created until God created him. We know by the Word of God that the Lord was alone in that realm. Genesis 2 and 7. The scripture, or the Lord God formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now that's awesome. And we know that he made him out of the dirt. But there was never life in that man until God breathed it into him. Now you think about it. What is the breath of God? It's the Spirit of God. It's His being. It's what He is. So tonight, we're more than earth and clay. But we have the Spirit of God in us. And we're very, very blessed tonight to be living souls. Genesis 2 and 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good enough that man should be alone. You notice, God knew His need for companionship. He Himself previously had no son. God said, I will make him an helpmate for him. Man, that's our God. Always thinking about us. Always watching out for our needs. Genesis 2 and 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and the fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see. This is so cool. To see what he would call them. Isn't that what a father would do? I mean, Brother Bacon, your first child especially, you know, it's neat to watch them come up and neat to watch what they're going to do on, let's say, Christmas Day. What are they going to do when they get this? You know, how fast are they going to learn? How fast are they going to be able to retain this knowledge? You know, how is this child going to be able to grow? How well are they going to be able to do? And whatsoever Adam called the living creature, that was the name thereof. And so God gave him responsibility as a father gives a son. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl and the air and to the beast of the field. But for Adam, there was still not found an helpmate for him out of everything that God brought to him. But it was in the mind of God, you notice, before the need arose. It was already in the mind of God. He was already thinking about it. He was always already a step ahead of Adam's needs. And I like that about our God. Amen. God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, as we know. That was known as the first form of anesthesia. And that was my wife's joke. I thought it was pretty funny. That's what you have your wife for. Anyhow, Genesis 2 and 22, and made he a woman And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And they shall be one flesh." So God already, He set in perpetual order or motion the way things would be from now on at that point. So you have God, you have man, and you have woman. The woman made of the man made of the breath of God. Woman also being man, or of man. So they were all together as one. They all were part of each other. They weren't separate entities by themselves. They wasn't. They didn't make themselves, so to speak. They were of each other. And the heavens in Genesis 2:1, the heavens and the earth were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. There's good reason for that. Jesus said, Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man. A lot of times we want to skip over the rest, don't we? It's easy to do. I don't ever, but every now and then you get weak. But don't forget the reason God made the Sabbath. It was for man's rest. It was a meeting place. It was a place where God and man could commune together. And we could get that spiritual rest we needed. Okay, and why did God love man so? Genesis 9:6, for in the image of God made He man. I mean, if I have a son or a daughter, she's going to look very much like myself. And that's what the Lord did. We are His offspring. We are His children. We're the sons of God. That's biblical. We all know that. And God wants to fellowship with His creation. Elizabeth's a perfect example. I'll provide her needs as long as I can. I'll give her everything she needs, a home, the learning skills, whatever I can do to make her life worth living. And to make her the fullest that I can. That's what I'm going to do. Now, isn't that what our God does for us? But there's more to it than that. Why do I do it? Because I love her. I want a relationship with her. I want to be in her life. I want to watch her grow and see the achievements she's made in her life. And cheer her on. That's what I want for my daughter. And that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for His people. You know, a lot of times we get to thinking that God's wanting to hammer us down, you know, and whip on us a little bit. But that's not it at all. He's cheering us on. He's saying, hey, run the race that's set before you. Set a mark. Fix your eyes. Go on toward the prize. Live it with all you have. Everything you do, do it with all your might. So God spent time with His people through all generations. Let's look at a couple of examples real quick and we'll go on. Moses in Exodus 33. Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a friend. Enoch, Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God and God took him. That's awesome. And Noah, Genesis 6:9. Noah walked with God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God spake saying, I am the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you'll notice, He says, God of, with association. These are my people. I am the God of these people. This is my chosen. I have chose these. He didn't just name anybody, folks. He called them by name. He knows us by name. He knows the very hairs of our head. They're numbered. They're ever in His mind. And so, Jacob said, I have seen God face to face. Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, these are people that's had a relationship, right? These are people... I mean, have you, hey, Have you seen the face of God at any time? I haven't been that lucky. I haven't been that blessed. But these people were. And, you know, He's loved sinners and He's loved saints alike. He didn't come to call the righteous, but He came to call the sinners to repentance. Is that right? Is that Bible? So, let's go back to the beginning then. Let's look at it. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, the plan, the thought, the intent, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. John 14, 1 and 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 Timothy 3 and 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So God was manifest in the flesh. Luke 1 and 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel of the Lord answered and said unto her, The Lord, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Why did God come in the flesh to the sons of men? What was His reasoning behind it? That's an awesome, awesome thought if you think about it. I mean, if you could just put yourself in that place, I mean, could you imagine God coming to you and going, You're fixing to have a kid. It's going to be the Son of God. It's like, who am I? And why, Lord? What's the purpose? Why am I, I would be asking some questions. So why did God come in the flesh to the sons of men? Luke 1 and 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to the men that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Luke 4 and 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The gifts of God, I'd like to look at that. Just a couple of gifts, just there's so many to look at. Luke 11 and 11, If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give a fish for him? Give a fish him instead of a fish a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? John 4 and 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, you know who I'm talking about? The lady at the well. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And in Romans 5 and 7, this is one of the great gifts of God. Without it, none of us would be here. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's why, ultimately, Christ came down. It was for our needs. Furthermore, one thing I feel like I'm leaving out. All this is leading one direction, if you notice. Everything Jesus did was to spend time with us. The whole plan, from the very beginning to the very end, it was all about us. It was all with us in mind. It was all with the thought in mind, or the logos, the intent to come down and to be a part of the family that he had created and to bring them back with him, not just to leave us here. You know, if we thought like man thought, we would just make something and dispose of it, or, you know, we wouldn't put the kind of care that God put into us. But God cares for us. That's what the Word says. That's all he could think about the whole time. I mean, he was up there in nothingness, and he made it by the spoken word. And he made us, because he wanted to spend time with us. He wanted someone that would love him with their whole heart. Isn't that one of the commandments? Right. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, heart, mind, and strength, in whatever order. Right. That's why he made us. And why did he give us these commandments? So we wouldn't get so far away. So we wouldn't lose sight. So we wouldn't get lost. So we could make it. So we could stay on the path. So he could bring us home. Brother Bacon, if your son, Cameron, got a little older and decided to go out on his own, and he got lost, and he called home. He said, "Daddy, I just can't find my way out of here. I don't know how to get out of here." You'd say, "Well, son, what are the signs saying around you? Is there anything that you can see that can help you find your way out? Is there anything that I've taught you that'll help you get to where you're going?" And if not, you would come for him, wouldn't you? You would come to where he is, and you would bring that little boy home. And he would have nothing to worry about. So Jesus, he had much compassion, obviously, on his people. You remember the miracles, the many miracles? The storm. Matthew 14:24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking in the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." Wow. He didn't know what he was asking. And he said, "Come." Isn't that the way we do? I mean, as a little lad, you know, if my dad told me, "Come," I didn't know any better. I just did what he told me to do. There's been times where we were out camping and there would be snakes or whatever, and he would say, "Watch out," and I'd just stop. Or don't go any further, or go this way. And immediately I would just follow, because I knew that he was going to do the right thing for me. But we buck against God so hard. We push back. We don't want to know what he has for us. "Don't tell me these things. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to have to do what you want me to do, Lord." This is my life. I don't have to do it anymore. Well, no, you don't. But there's things out there you have to watch for, and only God knows what those things are. Only God knows what tomorrow holds. Only God knows if your family will be all right the next day. Only God knows. And we have Him to trust and to thank for our protection and for our safety. And you know, but when Jesus, when He saw the wind boisterous, He was afraid and beginning to sink, and He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." I was thinking about, look at where we are today. You know, it's hard for me to even listen to the news anymore. I know what's going on. And I like to keep up with things, just like, you know, everybody here. But, you know, every now and then, it just does you a whole lot of good to pull out the Word. I tell you, it's life. It really is. It'll pick you up. It'll bring you out. And it'll show you the way. It will guide you if you'll let God guide you. And you'll go ahead and you'll put yourself to it. Brother Mark, can I get an amen? Amen. I mean, that's the way it is. And immediately, so he was crying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Just from the presence of the Almighty. I tell you, folks, I've been through some hard times. A lot of people may not know it, but I've been through some hard times. And it's amazing. I have been in situations where I felt spirit, and we just called on the name, and you could just feel it push through the house and push that out immediately, in a blink of an eye, just whoosh. Just like it talks about in the upper room. Exactly. It feels that way. God can do it. God is our protector. 14 and 24, Matthew. Oh, I'm sorry. Luke 8 and 49, the raising of a dead girl. A lot of you are familiar with it. While he yet spake, there come one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, even his disciples. All is all, right? But he said, "Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth." Luke 8 and 53, "And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all of them, out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, And she arose straightway and commanded to give her meat." Man, when I read that, I thought, my God was so gracious. They didn't even believe in Him. Why in the world were they even walking with Him? You know, you would think that these guys are on cloud nine. I mean, they're with Jesus, right? Well, so are we. But we can't seem to believe for a few down here that they could receive the Holy Ghost as well as we. Come on, people. We got a merciful God. And He's in this house. He's in the midst of our lives. He's in the midst of our family. He is our family. We belong to Him. We're part of Him. We're the children of God. We're the sons of God. Why can't we believe for better? Why can't we believe that our sons and our daughters could be saved? Why can't we believe in healings? Hey, it's in the Word. We've got the right to believe in that, in those things. God said He would give it if we believed. If we asked and we believed, He would do it. It's just amazing to me. He still decided to heal the girl. He still had enough compassion in His body, in His spirit, to go ahead and do what he had set out to do. He was not a quitter. A lot of times we come up against opposition and there we go. That's it, man. That's as far as I'm going, Lord. That's not something I want to get into. But don't ask me. I'm not wanting to go there. That's not for me. And in Luke 17 and 12, and as he entered into a civilian village, you remember it just slipped my mind. Isn't that the way it works? The lepers. And as he entered into a certain village, there came him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That caught his attention right there. They spoke up. They spoke up, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And they recognized who he was. And when they saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They just did what he said. They didn't ask questions. They didn't murmur. They didn't complain. Well, why? Why aren't you asking so-and-so to do it? Or why is so-and-so getting to do this? Or none of that junk. Well, who's first? Who's going to get cleansed first? I want to be first. God didn't go for any of that. And they just did what he asked, and it was done. It was that simple. The word's simple, people. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." The stranger was willing to give thanks and recognized deity, recognized who he was. And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." The one that was thankful got an extra blessing. I tell you what, I remember a time when I was playing my tambourine, and I was back there where Brother Lozano is now. And my hand just kept hurting and hurting and hurting so bad. I just couldn't get it to stop. And it felt like it was going to explode. I had carpal tunnel syndrome. I could not stop the pain. I didn't have insurance. And I even talked to God about that. And I just simply said, "God, you know I don't have insurance. This is the hand I praise you with. What am I going to do?" And I started doubting in myself, and I started talking to myself and thinking about that. And I said, "Now wait a minute, we're in the middle of the house of God. There was no prayer requests taken up, nothing. We were just singing, praising God." And I thought, you know what? If I could just get his attention, if I could just come on down, God would touch me. And I walked down to the front, and the pastor prayed for me, and immediately immediately my hand just stopped hurting. You know, it's never hurt since, and it's been years. I've been healed of asthma. My dad's been brought back from the dead. God's an awesome God. So God's done a lot for us. And that's the point. Took a little time. Thanks for being patient. But God's done a lot for us if you really think about it. Brother Bacon, how many times could you not go to the hospital and your children needed it? They needed a touch, or your wife, yourself. You had to go to work. You're the only one who works. What's going to happen then? You can't afford to be off. Sister Dickerson, your husband's told me time and time again how God healed his children and how God, miraculous works God did. Sister Everett, God's been awesome to all of us. He's done so much for us. And so God's been good to us. And I was thinking, I read in the Word, God brought this to my mind. Jesus wanted to go to the Passover so bad. He was about to be crucified. And he had spent all this time with his disciples, but he's been busy, right? He's been working. And what did he come down here for? What was it all about in the first place? It was about visiting his people. It was about bringing us home. It was about family. It was about his kin. It was about us. And here he had spent all this time with these guys, and all he could think of was sitting at the Passover. And so he sent his disciples off to get a room, and he told them where the room was, and he told them everything that they needed to tell the man. And they got it all ready. They got the Passover feast ready. And Jesus sat down at the table and when he entered, and he said unto them, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And I thought about that. I thought, man, you can feel it. You can feel the desire. You can feel what he's saying. I mean, he said desire twice, not once. He said it twice. That's all he wanted. That's all he asked. He might have even prayed, "God, let me do this one thing before I go. Let me just have a little time with my people before you take me, before I have to do this thing." And you could just feel the desire, the deep desire that God had to spend time with his people. And I was thinking, John the Baptist, he introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And there were a couple of disciples with him, one of which was Simon, I believe. And they heard what John the Baptist said. This is in the beginning of Luke, I believe the third chapter possibly. And they said, "Master," they said, "where are you staying?" And he said, "Come on with me." He said, "Come and see." And so they followed. Jesus was happy that they asked. And so they followed, and they followed him to his house, and it says they stayed there. Jesus was hungry for fellowship. Jesus was hungry for love. He wanted to love. He wanted to give of himself. And that's why Christ came. He came for us because he wanted to share himself with us. And he says in Luke 13:34, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not." He yelled it. There's an exclamation point at the end. That's all he wanted, guys. That's all he wanted. He just wanted an opportunity to visit with his people. You think about Sister Dana. I was thinking about Enoch. And he said, "Enoch," it's like Brother Grissom says, I guarantee you, it's like, "Enoch, you're closer to my house than we are yours. Why don't you just come on home with me?" I mean, come on, y'all. God can still do those things. There's nothing to say he can't bring you on home, Sister Covey. It don't have to happen the way we think it's going to happen. It doesn't have to be like we think it's going to be. Somebody the other day was telling me about the Left Behind series and how it had to be this way and this was what was going to happen. I said, hey, God could come at any time. And I don't know that there's another opportunity. The Bible tells me it's as in the days of Noah. And if it was as in the days of Noah, he slammed the door. And that was it. I don't know all the answers. But I know I'm not going to play with my salvation. And He's beckoning us. He's beckoning us to have a daily walk. He's beckoning us to spend some time. It's not that hard to spend some time. Sister Krista, is it that hard to spend time with those sweet children? I don't have any trouble with that either. Every time I see my little girl, it's come to me. And when I just wrap her up in my arms,
Sister Grissom, it's nice to come home from a hard day's work and see that man standing at the door, strong, true, and full of love for you. And that's what our God is to us, love. He's just calling us out. He's just saying, hey, just give me a little bit of your time. I'm not asking for a whole lot. I just want some of your time. We get caught up in the holiday. I heard on the radio the other day, shopping at 4 and 5 in the morning. Come. You got to be kidding me, buddy. I'm going to work. There's nothing that important but my wife and my job and my God. I don't need that stuff. That's all it is stuff. But I tell you what I do need. I need to know a little more about God. I need to know a little bit more about what He wants in my life. Because He's trying to get me home. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. We haven't made it. He's calling us home. Elijah, I've got a chariot waiting for you. I can take you right now. Why wait any longer? What's in this world for you? The shopping malls? Another day at work. Another bill, another worry, another problem. Come on, Elijah. Come on with me. I've got a chariot waiting for you. Just a little bit longer. Come on. T. It endures to the end. When's the end going to be? We don't know. It could be this night. I believe that because I believe the Word of God. His Word is true, and He's never let me down. And I know that all He wants is just a little bit more time. He said, hey, if any man would knock, if any man would knock and come in and sup with me, I would sup with him. Hey, we Pentecostals, you know how we are. Somebody calls us up and says there's going to be a dinner. We're going to be there, right? Especially if it's our folk, our family. We're going to be there. Well, God's calling. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm calling you. Just spend some time. Take thought for me. Don't take thought of tomorrow. Don't take thought for these things. They're not going to fill you. Saint of God, I have a chariot for you. God's talking to somebody tonight. He talked to me this evening and He told me what to say. He put the words in my mouth. We haven't made it yet. We haven't made it yet. But there is a chariot down here where the fires of God are burning, where the Spirit of God is a consuming fire. And God's able to take up your burdens, and He's able to heal them. Maybe you're just going through something right now. Maybe holiday stress. Maybe you're alone too. But there's a friend waiting by your side. He said, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you believe God's here? in this place. This is the temple of God. God's here in this house. Saint of God, search your heart. You know, everything may be all right now, but it doesn't hurt to tell Him you love Him. It doesn't hurt to say, Jesus, I love you. God, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I want to give it to you. I want you to know I care. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know I'm here. And I'm going to make it to the other side in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I'm going to make it to the other side. If there's anybody that would like to come down and just spend a little time, what did you come for? There's no big entertainment show. It's nothing fancy. Just a little time with Him. Just a little time with the one that called you out. Just a little time with the one that saved your soul. Just a little time with the one that took care of your needs. Little time with the healer. Jesus is here right now. Reach out and touch Him. Jesus is here right now to help.
Right now,
to help you receive. Jesus is standing near, ready your heart to cheer. Jesus is here right now, only thank you.